Hello again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley. And I want to take you into two pieces of scripture that I'm sure I won't get through. But I want you to be thinking about it. I want you to think about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. Years before Jesus was born, God gave to Isaiah the understanding of what was going to take place. For instance, we discover in chapter 53 of Isaiah, "Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." Now, here is an enormous description laid out for us to understand crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just crucifixion itself, but the Lord Jesus was crucified. Now, before that, King David was led by the Spirit of God to write this beautiful psalm, where he cries out in Psalm 69, "Save me, O God, for the waters are come in upon my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into the deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dry and mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach, shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien to my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. when I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach I made sackcloth, also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in the acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me. In the truth of thy salvation, deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up. Let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, and thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, and so on. There is here in this 12th verse something that is absolutely stunning. Jesus said that he was the song of drunkards. The drunkard could sing of Jesus, drunk with power, drunk with tradition, drunk with position, drunk with wine, intoxicated with a drug, self-induced awe from Satan's minions. Jesus was the song of drunkards. Look at the mockery that comes upon the Lord Jesus today. I know I've said this before, but we say, oh, geez, when we are shocked into something. And what we're really saying is, oh, Jesus. We take the name of the Lord in vain, and we don't think anything of it. Judas was such a person. He thought Jesus was not God's son, and he went out and betrayed him. High priests were elevated by their own sin and rejected the Lord Jesus. Pilate, concerned for his own position, allowed misjustice to overtake him. Disciples, confused, fled in disarray because they lost their direction. People cried, "Crucify him," because they were caught up in the moment. High priests ridiculed the Lord Jesus Christ because of defiance to God. They had no glory and were jealous of his glory. Soldiers slapped and punched him. Crude remarks about him were just thrown at him. They spittle on him and they cried out, "He saved others, himself he cannot save," because God's word, not of their conduct. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he lay bound to the altar like an ox, or like Isaac of old, by Abraham, like a sheep, silent, unresisting, the cross between heaven and earth, pointing to heaven from earth, east and west included, encircling the earth. We are embarrassed by the cross. Now, he was the song of drunkards. People mocked the Lord Jesus. And I want to take you into this 53rd chapter also of Isaiah and use as a key, "All we like sheep have gone astray and have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all." Can you imagine this? Notice, first of all, he was denied. People denied Jesus today. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Notice, he was delivered. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so opened he not his mouth. That was a deliberate thing. Jesus decided, made a decision. And the decision was simply this: I will not cry out. I will not seek God's face. Now, on the cross, eventually Jesus cries out with a loud voice and says, "It is finished." But these words, "It is finished," didn't come from a person that was expiring. It came from a person who was triumphant, and I believe with all my heart that it was a great proclamation. "It is finished. I have achieved and accomplished that I came into this world. When Pilate stood before Jesus, and he asked the question, what is truth? And Jesus answered him, I am truth. Pilate didn't know what to say. He was thrown into confusion. Yet the Lord Jesus didn't berate him, didn't call him names. When they took the nails, the soldiers nailed him to the cross. And as they were pummeling those terrifying spikes of iron through his hands and his feet, why, the Lord Jesus said nothing. He was a lamb that was taken to the slaughter, and he opened not his mouth. He didn't speak. He didn't curse. And when the thief turned to him and said, look, we are being crucified here justly because of the things we've done, the wickedness that we, two thieves, we've done awful things. And it's right. But you, when you come into your kingdom, will you remember me? And Jesus turned to that man, and the pain of those spikes in his hands, the pain of those spikes in his feet, the pain of that terrible crown of thorns, the pain of the rejection of man, the pain of being lifted up naked before heaven and earth. So that Jesus said, shame, in verse 7 of the Psalm 69, shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger to my brethren. To be amongst your brethren and be recognized as a stranger. The Lord Jesus had nowhere to turn, no one to turn to, but to his Father in heaven. And he said to the man, today, because of the simplicity of your faith and the panic of your heart and the realization that you're going to be dead in just a few hours, because of this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Because you've trusted me, you've asked me to enter into your experience. And actually, Jesus' experience was the same as the thief. He was hanging on this wretched cross, this terrible gibbet. And yet he says to the man beside him, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Ladies and gentlemen, I say to you lovingly, this day the Lord Jesus sees you where you are. He understands what you're going through. He knows the pain of your body, the pain of your heart, the pain of your mind, the pain of your soul. He understands the upheaval of your family. He understands the placidity that you may be exhibiting towards him. He understands you. He looks way beyond the outward appearance. His vision pierces into your heart, to your heart. And today he says, trust me, ask me into your life. Behold, says the scripture in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door, that is the door of your heart, the door of your soul, and I'm knocking. Receive me. Come unto me, all ye who are labor and are heavy laden, I will rest you. The Lord Jesus is saying this to us because all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of all of us. All of us. Again, the scripture says that the iniquity or the sins have fallen upon his shoulders. The sins of the world. What a crushing thing this must have been. All the sins, past, present, and future, fell upon him on Calvary. Sure, he only suffered for 3 hours. But in that suffering, God pulled, as it were, a great awning across the whole world. And the world was darkened, and the face of God could not be received. The face of God could not be seen, and people could not run to the Lord God Almighty. Because he had given them the Lord Jesus, his son, and they had rejected him. They had rejected him completely. Notice, please, how it is that this, in verse 3 of Isaiah 23, he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Oh, a man of sorrows. The sorrows of being rejected. The sorrows of being despised. How dare we? How dare we take with carelessness the things of the Word of God? And at this time in the calendar that we have in front of us, we remember the Lord Jesus crucified. We remember the Lord Jesus buried. We remember the Lord Jesus resurrected. And the resurrection is the hope that is within us. Hope thou in God. Put your attention towards the Lord Jesus. It's very difficult to understand that Almighty God, the maker of the ends of the earth, the one that created the trees and the flowers, the one that created all the animals, the one that created the grass and so on, the one that created the skies and the beauty in and around us lie, all of these wonderful things, it's difficult to understand how that God can enter into the heart of a man. So, God, not willing that any should perish and have an excuse, gave to us a Saviour. His name was Jesus Christ the Lord. And Jesus came, and Jesus died, and Jesus suffered for your sin, for my sin, for our sin. He was a man of sorrows. Let's look at this very quickly. We find in verse 2 of chapter 53 of Isaiah that he had no form nor comeliness. I have a lot of trouble when I see hanging in people's homes and in churches a picture painted by an artist of the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. I used to frequent the various art galleries in London. I used to love to go and look at the religious paintings. They've always thrilled me. But I came across some that showed the Lord Jesus as sort of a Caucasian person. I saw him without a beard. I saw him with a beard. I saw him with short hair, with long hair. And it was the artist's impression that was being portrayed on a canvas. Look at this. Look at the Word of God. In this second verse, we read, he had no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. You can't make Jesus look beautiful with spit gumming up his beard and the congealed blood that had poured from the head where the crown of thorns had cut through to the skull bone and congealed in his beard also. His lips swollen beyond all measure, split in many directions, his eyes most likely almost shut, if not shut, from the buffeting that he took from the fists and the slapping of the soldiers. The beard being plucked out had caused his face to swell. There was no form nor comeliness. You couldn't tell who he was. His visage was so marred, says the scripture. Now, this is not some wonderful portrait to be painted. It's a rejectionable sight. It's horrible. But we come down to verse 4 of 53 of Isaiah, and it simply says there, surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. He was a man of sorrows. He's carried my sorrows. I am terribly sorry for my sin. That's one type of sorrow. I am terribly sorry that I have got myself into situations that are nothing but sinful. That's another sorrow. I am absolutely shattered that I have not lived the life that I should and could have lived for the Lord Jesus. That's another sorrow. And I am sorry, and there is sorrow in my heart over the death of dear friends, dear loved ones. and people that I have absolutely adored over the years. The sorrows are in my heart. But look at this. Look at this for a moment. He carried our sorrows. He hath borne our griefs. On the cross, Jesus took all the grief and all the sorrow that this world has manufactured. I sometimes see films about the Holocaust, and I remember as a boy ferreting around because of the direction of my father and the air raid wardens, trying to look for people in the rubble of the houses in London, and finding some that were dead, some that were wounded, and some that were whole. I can remember those things, and I have to remember that all of the sorrows and all of the grief that people of those experiences suffered, Jesus suffered for them. We can take our sufferings. Don't hide your face from Jesus. He was despised, and people did not esteem him as they should. But he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, and he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. Now there's a great deal of controversy in the day in which we live, but the word stripes simply means bruises, and he was bruised, and we are healed. But there's a lot of controversy and there's a lot of discussion about this surely means that he heals today as he did in those days when he walked upon the earth, and we can receive the healing of the Lord Jesus. I don't want to get into this very far, for I'm not understanding it as I ought to, perhaps. But I want to share with you the Lord Jesus has taken away the suffering of our souls. There is great suffering when a person has rejected the Lord Jesus, when people, like the people before the cross, they were crying out and shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." They were rejecting Jesus. They were rejecting God's wonderful gift. They were rejecting salvation, which would have lifted them up out of this horrible experience that the psalmist quotes in Psalm 69. "Save me, O God, for the waters are come upon my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my cry. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God." Oh, they hate me without a cause. You know, that's a strong word. To hate? I was chastised at one time by a friend who said, "You can't use that word hate. God would not allow it." But yet we hate God, and it worries me. He says here in verse 4 of this psalm, "They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away." And then these are things to think about. Jesus suffered. He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised. We esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs. Surely he hath carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. The wounds in the hands and the feet and the head of the Lord Jesus were because of our transgressions. As you consider reading at this time of year all that took place at Calvary, I would recommend to you a continual reading daily during the rest of this month of Mark 15, for there you will read of the crucifixion of Jesus, written to the Romans in a very succinct way and a very simple way that we can easily understand. Jesus said in this Psalm 69, "Shame hath covered my face. I am a stranger to my brethren. The zeal of mine house, the religion, hath eaten me up. and the reproaches of them that reproach thee have fallen upon me. People have reproached God. People have said, why did God allow this? They've reproached him because their child was killed or some dreadful experience happened, not recognizing that Satan, in all his wretchedness, tries to come between you and God. And in verse 10 of this wonderful psalm, he says, when I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth my garment, and I have become a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate, those people that are in authority, speak against Jesus. And we have in our political system today people talking against the Lord Jesus Christ. There are those that say we must not speak of the Lord Jesus. We can speak about God in the way that the people from Ishmael speak about Allah. That's not fair. That's not right, because ours is the living God. Theirs is a dead excuse. But Satan would twist the minds of men to think of these things. They that sit in the gate speak against me, said Jesus. I was the song of drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, speaking to his Father, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me. In the truth of thy salvation, deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me and out of the deep waters. And I have to stop there. But I'm going to say one last thing. If you will turn your life over to the Lord Jesus, the mess you've got your life into, the things that have happened to you that you perhaps didn't think would ever happen, but they have happened, and you're devastated, if you will turn your life toward the Lord Jesus, he will take hold of you and keep you the rest of your life, for he understands your suffering. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you're so full of understanding and comprehension. You know our situation, and we ask that you will wash us now, white as snow, and give us hearts that will receive you and honor you, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Hey, thank you for listening. Goodbye.